Oh, I can't hear you again.
What?
Now I should be able to hear you. There we go.
Well, you just fed my audio back to me.
Did I really?
Yes.
Fucking sweet.
That's awful.
Ha ha. Well, that's what you fucking get. Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 36 for the Wednesday, the 13th of May, 2015. This is the show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos and that guy right there in New Mexico, that's Kent.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, I bring up the fact that you're in New Mexico because this week I'm not in the States.
Yeah. You're not
I
just
have
in...
officially...
You're not just not in New Mexico, you're not... in Texas or in any of the other 48 states.
Yeah, I'm not even on the continent.
Right.
It's actually tomorrow here, so fuck you. I can see the future.
Or it's yesterday here, one of those.
Yeah. So by here, I mean I am in, I'm Pyongkunk or whatever the hell city they call it. Ah, shit. I had it down. I said it like the right way four times. Whatever. I'm just south of Seoul, South Korea.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, fun times. Man, that was a good trip.
I sense sarcasm.
No, not at all.
Oh, I sense more sarcasm. the sarcasm is strong with you, sir.
It happens. All right, so, I moved to Korea over the last week. Your girlfriend Stephanie filled in for me last week.
Yep.
That was an interesting episode, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I imagine it was interesting to edit as well.
It was, but what was even more interesting was the recording process. That was. Yeah. We'll just leave it at interesting. It was different. It was not.
Because you were both sharing the same microphone, right?
Yeah, and that was part of the problem. That was probably the main problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That can be, how does she take to it?
As far as like liking it or
yeah. Enjoying the recording and the listening back of herself.
Well, she wasn't too impressed with the playback of herself because I mean, as anybody that listened to that episode knows, it was, her part was pretty quiet. But she likes hearing herself talk, kind of like I guess all podcasters like hearing themselves talk.
So I don't know. I don't like hearing myself talk at all.
Well, you don't like your voice.
Hearing myself talk. Like I'm so critical of myself that I don't like to hear myself talk.
But you do like to talk.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a no-brainer.
That's pretty much a given.
So, quick criticisms of last week's episode. First of all, there weren't enough ums. Clearly not enough ums.
My bad. Yeah,
more ums. We need more ums. The sound on it, the audio, the bumpers, the beginning and the end bumpers were entirely too loud. And I don't know if that was something that happened in post or if that's just the way it recorded or how that went. But yeah, because on my speakers, it was clearly breaking the threshold of their capability even when I turned it down. So yeah, something to watch for in the future. It's something that I have. Yeah, it messes me up every time because I think it all sounds good and everything else when I'm editing it. Then I go back and replay it and I'll be clipping the entire time. I'm like,
oh wow.
This is bullshit. So yeah. But other than that, it sounded actually pretty good. And Stephanie's got a really good radio voice.
Yeah. She just needs to work on her mic technique a little bit, get a little closer to the mic, more consistent.
Have her own mic.
Oh, well, yeah, that exactly. Well, you didn't happen to watch the YouTube, the video version, did you?
I did not. Yeah, I got the final version in my streamer.
Right. Well, I think I addressed it in the YouTube, in the post show. the biggest problem with the way that we had everything set up, because we had the microphone sitting between us on a little table. We were facing each other. Meanwhile, my computer is to my left. So when I wanted to look at my screen for anything or just play a bumper or anything whatsoever, I had to turn off mic. Or I had to like talk out of the side of my face, and it was just... it sucked. The process of recording sucked. I enjoyed the conversation that we had, but it was not a fun process. We'll say that. So yeah, if we both had our own mics,
really love to see the video of that. Yeah, she just got to get her something, man. I mean, it's not hard to get something, hook it up into your little H4, and go from there.
Yeah.
I know, well, right? I'm the idea guy. Like, why can't I be in your head, right?
I need to buy a microphone, because my only other microphones I have in this house are USB and really shitty. So.
We should be able to go down to Hastings and get a cheap XLR condenser mic and maybe like a 6-foot XLR cable and hook it up through your H4 and use it as USB input for it.
Well, yeah, I could. Or I could buy a dynamic microphone that I really want to get, and then somebody else can use this Yeti condenser.
Oh, yeah. No. I like my idea way better. It's way cheaper.
That is true. It is true. I don't know. I'll get it all
my way.
It's an
my way
process.
Is like $30. Yeah, my way is like $30. Your way is like, you know, several hundred. So technicalities, really.
Right.
I got to Korea. The trip here was very fun. I tweeted about it as I went along. Ridiculously long flight. The seat that I was in, literally, if I sat in as proper as I could, I scooted my butt back as far as I possibly could. My knees were resting on the seat in front of me, which, by the way, was broken. You know how they say, put your seat back forward and it locks in position, whatever? This one didn't lock in position. So every time he leaned back, it went to the relaxed position. So that was the first flight, which was 10 hours or 9.5 hours from Seattle into Tokyo. Mm-hmm. That was highly enjoyable. I didn't have room for my laptop. I put my tray away because the tray, like the me putting my tray down, it would keep the guy from coming down as far because it would actually hold it, his chair in place. But it was not usable space because of the angle. And the tray didn't pull out like to get closer to me because I was already as close as I could. I mean, there was no room.
Right.
So, but then I couldn't put the tray back up there because it didn't fit in the crevice, the little cutout in the back of the guy's seat in front of me because it was all jacked up. So the whole thing just sucked.
Ugh.
And of course it was a full flight. And I look over and I'm all for families sitting together and everything else. There are two parents. There's the aircraft is arranged where there's two seats. There's an aisle. There's three seats. There's an aisle. There's two more seats.
Right.
I am in the last set of two seats on the aisle seat of the last two. Okay.
Okay.
The middle three seats is a woman and her two small children. They put the father on the other side opposite me, basically, in the aisle seat of the first two. And then there's some random dude sitting next to him. I'm sure there could have been a better arrangement for this family. And also, the kids, and I understand that kids want to sit with their moms and everything else, but the woman was short. The kids, their feet didn't even hang over the side. One of them is in a car seat that didn't even, it just pissed me off so much because in front of them was so much this 4-foot space between them and the wall in front of them that they were not using any of. And here I am. I can't move one leg for 4 hours at a time because the guy in front of me is sleeping, you know? Like, I could stand straight up, scoot back, and then kind of move over to get out of into the aisle to go to the bathroom and things like that. But once I sat down, I could not move my legs.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was exciting. And I even asked for that seat because I wanted to be close to the front so I could get off the plane sooner. Yeah, teach my stupid ass. The second flight going from Tokyo into Pyeongtaek. There, see, I said it right. That flight was only about 2.5 hours long, and I actually sat in the seat where the mother was sitting because nobody had claimed that seat on the second flight.
Mm.
So the second flight was all right. I actually got to stretch out my legs and have a little bit of breathing room.
Mm. Oh, you didn't fly into Incheon?
I did not. I took the rotator.
Ah, I see.
Yeah, I flew into Incheon when I went to Kunsan, and man, that was a hassle all in itself. This one came straight to base, and I don't know. I think I'd rather have just taken the civilian route.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, you made it there.
I did. And now I have my own dorm room, which is actually nice. It's basically a one-bedroom apartment. It's really nice. I got my own washer and dryer, my own full bathroom. I'm not sharing it with anybody. The only door is the one to the hallway. I don't have to share my kitchen or anything else. All brand new appliances. This building is brand new. I'm the first person to live in this room, so I'm going to try my hardest not to destroy it while I'm here.
All right.
The furniture is decent. It's very, very hardy. You can tell they bought the stuff that's meant to last forever because the cushions don't move. You know, you sit down, it's basically a stone slab, but whatever. Everybody's been complaining about how stiff the bed is, but I actually like it. I mean, it's kind of like sleeping on cardboard. Like, there's not really a whole lot of give in it, but I like a stiff bed, so works for me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Good. I think that's amazing that you've got your own washer and dryer.
It's not a washer and dryer. It's a washer slash dryer.
Gotcha.
It's a... I can fit like two t-shirts and a sock in there at a time.
But you can do it in your own room.
I can do laundry butt naked in my own room and not have to worry about anybody else stealing my shit out of my dryer or anything else. Not waiting on someone else's dryer or whatever. It's just, it's right there.
That's very nice.
It's compared to what I had in Kunsan, I'm living the life.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Now I'm 2.5 miles from work, but, you know.
Yeah.
And I refuse to get a car. Just seeing the way people drive on base, I'm not getting a car. I'll ride my bicycle where at least I can dip and dodge out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of bicycles, I'm sure, just like Kunsan.
There's so many freaking bicycles.
Yeah.
And here the BX is actually pretty decent. So they have bicycles on sale like all the time. So everybody goes and buys them, then about, you know, something breaks or whatever else, something goes wrong or it's not adjusted properly, they just ditch it. So, like, you go to a bike rack and there's nothing but old abandoned bicycles just sitting there being wasted, you know? No, I actually bring mine up to my room and park it in my room.
Yeah.
Instead of leaving it out.
It's probably better that way. What floor are you on?
I am on the third floor, but there are elevators in this dorm.
Get the F out.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
This building is 8 stories tall. And apparently, PACAF's thing is if it's more than 4 stories, you can have an elevator. So, what they do is they limit most dorms to 3 or 4 stories. And yeah, we actually have 3. We have a handicap one and then 2 regulars. And they're like, there's 2 different buttons. So, if you hit the button on one, it counts for the 2 elevators. If you hit the button on the other, it only counts for the handicap elevator. And the handicap elevator, of course, has got a little bit more room. The door's a little bit wider. So that's cool.
Wow.
So, yeah. It's a big difference, man. It's much, much changed from when you and I were here.
Yeah.
Well, when you and I were in Korea.
Yep. Wow. Okay. So that doesn't sound so bad. Cool. So I had an exciting day on Tuesday.
I hear. What happened?
I don't know. It was my last day of work.
So you were essentially still getting paid, but unemployed.
Right. I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but one thing that was kind of, that was really weird is, you know, you work for 20 years and you work towards this out processing checklist, like, oh my God, I gotta get this done. I gotta figure out a way to finish that and do this and that. Well, I got everything done. And then I went to my out processing appointment, which was 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. I walk in there and the girl at NPF is like, yeah, come on back. I sit down. She types on the computer for a minute, pulls up my checklist. Like, Okay. Everything's good. All right. Thank you, sir. That's it? I'm done? She goes, yeah, yeah. Have a nice day, sir. Okay.
Wow.
And then, I left.
No drawn out process, huh?
Yeah. It was the most anticlimactic thing ever. I think I was in MPF in the building for about 90 seconds.
Wow.
I didn't know what to do. I walked out of the building.
Confused?
Yeah.
Like, what did I forget?
Yeah.
What's going wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then today, Wednesday, the next day, I actually woke up at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Alarm didn't go off. But that's okay, because I don't have to be anywhere.
Yeah.
This is so weird. So I fell back to sleep for a few hours or a couple hours or something. I don't even know how long I fell back to sleep for. But then I got up and I don't know. It's the oddest feeling. I don't even know what to do with myself right now.
Mm.
So I drank some coffee, played some Hearthstone, and cleaned the house a little bit. And then my boys came home from school. That's another weird thing altogether. Being at the house when the boys come home from school.
Yeah. How are they taking it?
Like, oh, hey, congratulations, Dad. What's it feel
like?
Your
ceremony's when?
The 29th. So I'm just over two weeks away. Yeah.
People are going to forget who you are before your ceremony to celebrate the career that you've had.
Well, actually, tomorrow I'm going to a going away luncheon from the shop for me. So that should be cool. We were going to do it yesterday, but there was some shit going on at the shop that the guys couldn't break away. So they postponed it to Thursday.
Nice.
So we'll see how that goes. And then the 29th will be my ceremony. And then 31 August is my actual last day of active duty.
Yeah. Which makes it your actual 20th year of service.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so jealous of you for getting out at 20 years instead of having to stick around for 20 something for something because you're, you know,
significant other. And everybody comments on that too, because when they look at my RIP or my SURF or my paperwork, it's 20 years, 0 months. It's exactly 20 years. That almost never happens.
Yeah. That's nuts.
So, yeah. The only reason it happened that way is because when they did the, what's it called? When you can only stay in a certain number of years at a certain rank.
High year of tenure.
Yeah, when they rolled back the high year of tenure for tech sergeants back to 20 years, I was a master sergeant select at the time. My enlistment wasn't supposed to end until like 2016 or 2017, something like that. But I hadn't sewed master on yet when they did that rollback. So it went to exactly my 20-year mark. And then I put master on and I just never changed it. So, voila.
Hmm.
Here we are. It's time.
Wow.
Yeah.
My current enlistment is up in September of 2019. My high year of tenure is August 17th of 2019. So, yeah, I don't have to re-enlist or extend or do anything ever again.
Yeah.
For anything or anyone ever.
Unless you make senior.
No. Like I said, I don't have to do anything extending or otherwise. I'm not sure which part of this you confused.
And speaking of good timing, after I was done with my out-processing appointment, I went and got an Egg McMuffin at McDonald's. And then at 10 o'clock, which, like I said, my appointment was at 9 o'clock. So I had, like, almost an hour to mess around until 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock began a job fair. So I went and hung out at the job fair for a while until, because the luncheon was supposed to be at 11:30. So I had, like, an hour and a half to mess around at the job fair, and made a few contacts, got a few leads on some possible jobs. So cool. That was pretty cool. Hella good timing on that part.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see what happens in the coming months. I'll keep everybody updated.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So with all that excitement of with your lazy day today, you decided not to watch a TED Talk. So are we just going to start trading these off? Like, you know, you're watching one week and I'm watching the next week or something? Because
that might be the way it goes. Yeah. I completely blew the show off until like late this afternoon. By then I was doing crap with my boys and then I had to go to the grocery store and I had to do dinner and then et cetera. And then here we are.
And then an hour of troubleshooting audio problems, of course, because this is the Ritual Misery podcast.
Right.
So I watched Marla Spivak, Why Bees Are Disappearing. Now, this is actually the second or third video that I watched from TED about bees today. And bees are really important to not only our honey supply, because that's important, but also just our agriculture in general. Our entire food supply relies very heavily on bees. About 30% of the world's foods are pollinated and allowed to grow because of the action that bees do. And that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
And there are six factors as to why they're dying, between fungicides, the way that we're planting our crops, how large we're planting them, the fact that we're not doing bumper crops and nutrient crops anymore, cover crops, and the parasites that they have on them. There's six very distinct reasons, but those reasons are so intermingled. And that is why after World War II, so from 1945 until 2007, I think it was the closing of it, we've gone from 4.5 million colonies to 2 million colonies in our country.
Oh, wow.
Of bees. Yeah. Hmm. So it's pretty important. I'd recommend anybody watching it, especially if you like food. I'm particularly addicted to it myself. It's pretty interesting. And it's not something that we can't do anything about. It's very, very clear the things that we need to do to reverse the process. And all the things that we're doing are to increase the food production in order to have more people on the earth, to sustain greater populations. But it's going to have a reverse effect by, killing off all the bees. So,
yeah, and we don't want The Happening. Like M. Night Shyamalan's movie, The Happening? That was bees, right? I think it was bees.
I don't know. I don't know if I ever saw that, actually. Like, all his movies kind of blend together.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched it once a long time ago, and I don't know, but I think it had something to do with bees.
Speaking of movies, I got to tell you, this is kind of off the cuff. Have you ever watched CinemaSins, Everything Wrong With, such movie in so many minutes?
Yeah, I believe I have.
I went on a tear of that the other day. That has got to be one of my favorite non-scientific things on YouTube.
Yeah.
Clearly the most entertaining thing that I watch that is not educational. Just, man, so good. CinemaSins, just check them out. It's amazing. It's awesome. One of the things that they were talking about, one of the movies, because what they do is essentially they break movies down and show the inconsistencies of it and how things wouldn't have happened, or, bring out the, somebody walks in this room and there's 10,000 people staring at them, then they pan, the camera pans around and there's only like 14 dudes, little things like that, little editorial errors, and oh man, highly entertaining, especially when the movies that you've seen.
Yeah, so. Is that Machinima? Is that who does that? I don't know. I get them all confused, like that, How It Should Have Ended, and Epic Rap Battles of History. There's several good YouTube shows out there.
Yeah, that happens to be my favorite though. That's, yeah. And sometimes I'll watch the same one that I've watched before. Sometimes I'll watch the CinemaSins, watch the movie, and then go back and rewatch the CinemaSins. Like, it's ridiculous. CinemaSins and Netflix, they just need to have those things like combined into one. Like, you can watch Netflix, and while you're watching Netflix, it's like a little pop-up video, Remember that show on VH1?
Oh, yeah.
Pop-up video, as you're watching it, like, it'll just, the CinemaSins thing, little pop-up, boop, boop. You know, and tells you what's going on with it.
Or it could be MST3K style, where you just got people narrating over the top of it, like, see, look how he screwed up right there.
They already have that. I forget what it's called, but you can, it's actually the MST3K guys, there's two teams of them that are still together.
Yes.
And they each have a different channel on YouTube, but that's what they do. They watch old crappy movies and provide the audio so that you can watch the movie yourself and just listen to them along with it. Yes,
and I cannot remember what they call it, because they can't use the MST3K name for it.
No, because that belongs to like Comedy Central or whoever.
Yep.
Viacom or whatever, but yeah, there's two different groups of them, and they're each headed by original team members of the MST3K team. So need to go look that up, and maybe we might be able to throw that in the show notes if you remember.
Yeah, so, probably will.
All right, so you know that I moved this week, and I've been dealing with minimal computer equipment for a while now, trying to get the show to happen, everything else. I've got to say that my current setup, and I might even include a picture of it, it's pretty awesome. I've got my laptop here. I've got the camera on top of that. I've got my monitor up here, and then my iPad over here for my touch things, which I forgot to touch off on the TED thing, which, oh well. And my soundboard is right here, bringing in audio from the TV from my Windows computer that's down here. And I've got a secondary mic I can bring in from. I've got it all just laid out. It's exactly the way that I wanted it to be, compressed down into a very small space, because I'm only working on a little table.
Yeah, all right.
But I finally have my studio set up the way that I want it to be, even if it's not in the location I want it to be in.
Yeah, I've mentioned before that I want to turn my outbuilding, like my shed, I guess, into a studio. My friend brought over.
It's more than a shed, but less than a garage. It's
right. It's kind of a garage.
It's a charade. Garage? Charade.
Yeah, I don't know. Stephanie just calls it the outhouse.
Yeah, well, I mean, do you poop in there? No. Pooping in the charade.
No pooping. No pooping around. But yeah, my friend brought over some equipment for me to try out, and I hooked it up tonight, but I haven't hooked up a laptop to try it out. But it's I can't even think of the name of the technology now. It's where you
power send line.
Yeah, exactly. You send internet over power line. And I got that all hooked up today, but I haven't tested it out yet. I'm hoping to do that tomorrow. That would have been my geeky thing of the week if I'd done it prior to the show, but
let's just cue that up for next week then, huh? So
yeah.
There you go. We need to get these studios set up, man. I'm really happy with the way my stuff is set up right now, and with the MacBook Air that I got on discount a couple weeks ago, well, I guess about a month ago now, I don't have to move my main computer, my main MacBook Pro, to, you know, do anything around the house. I can just grab that little MacBook Air, and it's got everything that I need to do when I'm not sitting here at the desk. Yeah,
cool.
I like it a lot. The only thing I might change, I might get my Canon camera and hook that up to be my new camera so that I actually have a way to mount it, so I'm not doing this number here the entire time.
the shaky cam.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Every time I bump my desk, the camera's like, whoa, shit, calm down. But other than that, I'm pretty happy with it. And I found a couple sites, and I'm going to have to talk with you offline and maybe provide a link in the show notes for the one that we decide on. But there are several sites online that will show you a suggested way to watch the Marvel movies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the new Marvel movies.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I've decided that no matter how much I fucking hate Iron Man, I'm going to go ahead and sit down and school myself and actually watch all of these, from, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil, all of it. Everything that's canon with the current cinema space for Marvel. I'm going to sit down and actually watch them in, you know, one of these suggested orders.
All right.
Yeah. And that's for those people that don't know, that's kind of a change for me. Once I don't like something about a series, I just won't watch any of it.
Right.
And my disdain for for Iron Man. Aside,
is it Iron Man the character?
It's pretty cool. So
Iron Man the character, or are we talking Robert Downey Jr.? Or
are they different?
He's pretty much playing himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you don't like Robert Downey Jr. Got it.
I don't like Robert Downey Jr. And I've never been overly thrilled with the storyline for Iron Man. It just doesn't really do much for me.
Right. So yeah, I don't think Iron Man had about 7 fans prior to Disney making a movie of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still not converted, so you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I decided
I'm going to sit down and do that.
I was never a big fan of Iron Man. In fact, he was, like, I knew who he was and didn't give half a rat's ass about the character until Disney started making movies.
Yeah.
And then it was like, yeah, okay, all right, yeah, all right.
I'd really like to see the, and I know it's been done like 15 times now, but a true-to-character Batman reboot. Like,
Ben Affleck is gonna. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm gonna reserve judgment until I actually see that movie, because I don't know what to think.
Well, I mean, like the Dark Knight series, I liked everything but the person playing Batman.
Christian Bale didn't do it for you.
I can't stand people that don't open their mouth when they talk. 50 Cent, Christian Bale, what's his nuts? The dude on Ward Burton from the old NASCAR fans will know that name. Just, I can't stand it. Ah, hate it. Anyway, that's enough of my fuck people that don't open their mouth rant.
Okay.
So, all right. Is there anything else that you want to cover this week, man? I know we had kind of both of us had a really busy week, so.
Yeah, that's it, man. I don't have anything. I didn't watch a TED Talk and failed there. I didn't read up on anything that that I thought would be interesting enough to talk about here. I didn't experience much this week other than my uneventful last day of work. Yeah, that's it for me, man.
We're continuing on. We did have a little period there. We weren't sure about how many episodes we'd have, so it's good to know that we're here. We're still doing it, cranking away.
36 in the can. Almost in the can.
Yeah. People never even heard their first two, but whatever.
That'll be on the bonus materials.
Yeah, yeah. It actually, I think that's what we're going to do, isn't it? We're going to put those in the Patreon for Patrons only.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the alpha episodes. Yep. Yeah, the ridiculousness. All right, if you're listening and you'd like to help out the show, you shop on Amazon, you can go there, click on the ritualmisery.com, and hit the little Amazon banner on that page, and it won't cost you anything extra, but it'll kick a little bit back to us. Kent, people can still find you at @rm_delnoche.
Yep, or on ratebeer.com, username Del Noche.
Right on. I'm Amos, Ethan Kane on the Twitter. And you can follow the show on Twitter, ritual@ritualmisery.com. You can submit ideas on our subreddit, ritualmisery.reddit.com. You can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. Find us on our home on the web, the very, obvious eponymous. There we go. God, that word screws with me every time. ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That is 567-698-7672. Our theme music comes courtesy of Kevin MacLeod, and we really appreciate you listening. For Kent, for me, for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya.
Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.